This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
This is Barry Maltz, and welcome to this week's business radio show. For those keeping track, this is now episode 368, and this episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions right there in the cloud. It's also provided by Staples and their Advantage program because they know how important it is for you to market your business to acquire and retain customers. Well, do you know how to face tough times? This is really one of the keys if you're going to be successful in your own business. In this hour, I'm going to show you how to face the tough things first. Plus, how can you turn your miserable 9-to-5 job into your own small biz of your dreams? The path is actually simpler than you think. Plus, businesses come and go, but what is your sustainable competitive advantage that will keep your company profitable? I'll show you two ways to get there. But first, is it really different being a woman business owner than being a guy? Do they have different issues and opportunity than men leaders? My next guest definitely thinks so. Joanna Croats is the author of Being Equal Doesn't Mean Being the Same. Well, Joanna is the host of Women's Playbook podcast and web radio show. She's been investigating the payoffs and the challenges of small business owners, especially women-led ones, for years. She co-authored a book called The Microsoft Small Business Kit, which I believe, Joanna, you actually featured me in.
Yes, I did, because you're a star.
I'm a star. So, you know, I've always said that women make much better business leaders than men, and I think the research definitely shows that. Why don't men see leaders when women lead?
Well, there's a male default, right? So performance is usually judged by male standards. And if you behave like the guy who's successful, then you're seen as a leader. I mean, that's a kind of warrior culture. The guy who comes in on weekends, the one who saves the day, who rides in on the white horse and is a lone ranger. Women tend to build consensus. They like to facilitate. They build bridges. They don't get credit for that because it's not seen as the star performance that men like to see. And also, I think that there's a tendency for, we all know the senior managers and senior people, who VCs and executives and so on, see people like themselves as being the right kind of star. So when women try and lead the way they feel comfortable, it's seen as a weakness. They don't cut the rivals off at the knees. They tend to make friends and colleagues out of rivals. Again, that's seen as weakness. And I think it needs a perception shift, a paradigm shift of male and female perception.
It's definitely true, because I don't know how, given what you talked about, how can women really win? Because when they act like guys, they get pushed down for it. And when they don't act like guys, they get pushed down for it.
Yeah, we have to have just more women putting on their big girl pants and investing in female equity. It's happening a lot with a lot more angels around now that are women. There's beginning to be a certain apprehension out in Silicon Valley that you need some women partners, because it turns out study after study shows that if you have diversity in assets, diversity in senior management, you actually have a better chance at succeeding at a startup. There's a study out that says with women in senior decision-making levels, those companies have performed better and have a better chance of success than male-owned companies. But on the other side of that, women don't really necessarily feel comfortable partnering. They tend to have their own kind of superwoman syndrome, as I call it, because they've had a hard time. So they feel like they have to do everything themselves, and that doesn't work either.
But I still think, Joanna, women are much better at collaborating than men are as far as building teams that aren't alpha male-led. And I think the time is right for that, because people always talk about the best leaders now are the ones that collaborate and aren't necessarily the people who say, just go do that.
Yeah, there's a command and control style that men grow up with, and they tend to reward results. If you do well, I'll promote you, I'll give you equity, I will manage to reward the kind of command that you exemplify. For women, this consensus, they tend to want to build, not to win. You know, they've done also numbers of studies that say that women tend to start businesses to find satisfaction, to find purpose. They're much more likely to start a social entrepreneurship than a guy. Men tend to measure success by metrics like money. So we have this size versus satisfaction kind of dichotomy.
Right, and that's kind of for a long time. We're talking with Joanna Crode. She's the author of a book, which I just love the title, Joanna. It's Being Equal Doesn't Mean Being the Same. I think that applies to so many places in our business, in our world. Who do you think is a good example out there of a woman that's really leading under her own terms? It isn't trying to be lead like a guy.
Sarah Blakely at Spanx. I mean, what a story she has about the multi-billion dollar company she founded and nobody wanted to buy her product. So there are stories about how she went, had to go into the dressing room for buyers with major vendors to show how she what her Spanx products was like, because she couldn't get a hearing with the people who buy products. And that is another actual development that women entrepreneurs are having. They see opportunity, they see niche markets that men don't necessarily see. So women see this kind of opportunity for a new product. For instance, there's another woman I profile in my book who came from Norway who created a mobile app that allows kids to send out alerts when they're feeling like they're in trouble. It goes out to a prearranged set of contacts that you program into the app. And she attracted the interest of Jada Smith, because Jada's daughter, Willow, started using it, and now she's well on her way and moved from Norway to Silicon Valley. I don't think guys would come up with a mobile app like that.
So what do you, besides the products you're coming in, what do you like about these women's style that really is making them successful in their own right?
Well, this is where I usually give my Miranda warning, as I call it. There's no one who's 100% male or 100% female.
Right.
And each gender, each sex has characteristic weaknesses as well as strengths. I think we can learn from each other. So I'm really in favor of true diversity. I just think women don't get a fair shake anymore, or ever really, and that the pace has been much too slow to advance women's leadership. So if we take what's strong about women and we add what's strong about men, we have a business that will soar. We don't have that command style. There won't be employees who are afraid of making mistakes so much, which happens with a lot of male founders. And we won't have as much trouble getting capital, which we know is a problem for women founders. So I'm just saying, let's give the girls a much better shot, and therefore I'm focusing on women's strengths right now.
So one of the promos in your book, and I've been dying to ask you this question, you say, find out why women really are more intuitive and why men actually don't need to ask for directions.
How much time?
I never ask for directions. We've got 3 minutes left.
Well, it's brain and hormone, basically. It is hardwired. So the brain structure of women has the corpus callosum, which is the fibers that connect the right and the left brain, many more nerve fibers there. So women transfer data between the visual hemisphere and the analytic hemisphere much faster than men do. That means they can see nonverbal, they intuit nonverbal gestures, facial expressions, whether someone's actually understanding what's going on, and that data is something they can act on. Men have a stronger left brain sense, which is the analytic side, and so they have this 3D vision of what's going on in the terrain. They may not know to take a right at the gas station, but they have an idea of what direction they should go, and women, not so much.
I never ask for directions anymore because I have GPS.
Yeah, well, if you don't have a brain, GPS will do it.
So how do you fight against this whole idea? Because, again, because men are really wired this way, because I'm wired this way, because I was really brought up that your success in your life is basically tied to your success in your business. And a lot of times women's success traditionally is tied to how their family does. How do we integrate that into our businesses if we're brought up that way?
A lot of change coming. I'm sure just the fact that you're asking me these questions says that you're thinking about it, and you're just one of thousands. We also see the millennials who are kind of trading off in terms of sex-based characteristics and stereotypes. There's just a wider continuum now for what sex really is. Look at the transgender and all the gay rights. So I think there's a lot of coming to terms with the fact that we need all-inclusive. Diversity now means not becoming like a guy, but actually respecting differences. And then again, you have the work-life balance that is coming to the fore in multinational corporations. I think that's a function of women's kind of management style.
And I hope it continues to evolve. Joanna, thanks for being on the show. Where can people get a copy of the book, Being Equal Doesn't Mean Being the Same, and also get in touch with you?
I appreciate asking that. It's The book can be purchased with a hard copy or ebook on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble and on Apple Books. They can get in touch by going to my website, Women's Playbook, womensplaybook.com.
Joanna, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, how do you make it through tough times as a small business owner? You know, historically, over the next 12 to 18 months, this country is going to see a recession. And it's very easy to lead your small business when everything is going great. But when the times get tough, how can you really make the difference? Coming up in the next hour, I'm going to show you the formula of how to face tough times. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
I'm Rich. Taking a look at the roadways. Have a couple of problems to watch out for. In Bartlett, crash with injuries, Lake Street and Bartlett Road. In Elgin Highland, west of Randall Road, there's an accident also on the city's northwest side in the Logan Square neighborhood. Watch out for a crash with injuries at the intersection of Kedzie, Logan, and Milwaukee Avenues. No delays on the Edens. Kennedy Express lanes are closed for maintenance until 8 a.m. Also, outbound left lanes closed, Belmont to pass Addison until 10 a.m. 20 apiece to and from O'Hare, 10 back and forth from Montrose. No delays on the Eisenhower, the Stevenson. Southside Expressway is looking pretty good as well. Same with Lakeshore Drive and the Elgin O'Hare Expressway. The tollways showing no issues this early morning hour. And clearing skies with breezy conditions with highs in the mid-50s. Right now at O'Hare, it's 34. Next updates in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
America right now is better off than it's ever been. Man, if I thought that, I wouldn't fight.
The Joe Walsh Show.
52% of young people would do away with the First Amendment. We have people being fined and threatened with jail time for exercising their religious freedom. Yes, I am a pessimist, but that's why I fight.
The Joe Walsh Show. Weeknights starting at 5. Right after Sean Hannity at 2 on AM 560. The Answer.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
If medications haven't helped you treat your depression, why haven't you tried TMS therapy offered by Theramind? Now there is a way to successfully treat your depression without the need for meds and their harmful side effects. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance, including Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois and Medicare. Don't continue to suffer needlessly. Call Theramind. Don't wait. Call Theramind now. 847-562-5868. The single greatest advancement to date in treating depression is TMS. It's an FDA-cleared, non-drug, safe, and effective treatment. TMS has already changed the lives of over 50,000 patients. Why not you? Visit TMSMind.com. Depression can be beaten and without drugs. Call Theramind today, 847-562-5868, or get more info at TMSMind.com. That's Theramind at 847-562-5868 or online at tmsmind.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
One of my favorite quotes of all time for business comes from writer Robert Frost, where he said, quote, "The best way out is through, unquote. My next guest attributes this philosophy to success. Ray Zinn is an inventor, entrepreneur, and the longest-serving CEO of a publicly traded company in Silicon Valley. He's best known for creating and selling the first wafer stepper, now an industry standard piece of semiconductor manufacturing equipment, and for co-founding semiconductor company Micrel, which was acquired by Microchip in 2015, provides essential components for smartphones, consumer electronics, and enterprise networks. Ray also holds over 20 patents for semiconductor design. He's got a great new book out, and I love the title of it, Tough Things First. Ray, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Barry. I'm glad to be on your show.
So I really don't want to listen to your advice because I don't want to do the tough things first. Why is that so important?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that I think is a human nature that we like to procrastinate. And procrastination, of course, stops us from moving ahead. You know, they say, you know, put off tomorrow what you should do today. And so those are the tough things. So if we learn to do those things first, we don't procrastinate. That's as simple as that.
And you say that true entrepreneurs will actually do this. They'll actually love doing the things that they don't love.
Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it, Barry?
It does.
Well, you know, what I learned, especially as a kid, is doing things I didn't like doing until I loved to do them. In fact, all discipline is, if you think about it, is doing what we don't like doing and doing it well. And that's, I don't care whether you're an athlete or whether you're a school teacher or, you know, my mother was a school teacher, and the thing she hated the most was grading papers. And so, you know, if we learn to love the things we don't like to do, think much better we'd be.
And so how do you practically do that? Do you start your morning and say, okay, I'm going to do all the stuff I don't want to do. I know how important it is. I'm going to do that first.
Exactly. So I jump right in, do those first, get them out of the way, and then the rest of the day goes by beautifully.
Well, Ray, some people would say, listen, if I don't like to do it, then maybe A, it shouldn't be done, or B, someone else should be doing it.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's the case. You know, we all like to put off something to somebody else, say, I don't want to do that, you do it. But then you never learn. You never grow. And, you know, can you think of the athlete that gets out there and wants to be the best in his particular field, and he says, I'm going to let somebody else do it. He's not going to be paid for that.
I totally agree. You got to focus on the really hard stuff and get through that stuff first, because then I believe you'll feel successful the rest of the day because you feel like you actually accomplished something.
Exactly. You know, I mean, how many of us, you know, would put off something that would help us become a better person? Well, almost anybody, I guess, if you wanted to give up.
So, Ray, is one of the systems to do something hard and do something that you really enjoy doing and do something hard, should there be a reward in there?
The reward is how you feel. I mean, anytime you tackle a task that you've just hated to do and then you do it, you feel so much better. I don't feel that great about doing something that I already enjoy doing because I enjoy doing it anyway. I don't get any real joy from that. I get joy from doing something tough that, hey, I did it, you know, and we jump up and down.
So you love the accomplishment part, but what is really the end goal? Because most entrepreneurs, the end goal, especially in Silicon Valley, really is the cash, right? Really is the payoff. Does that help or hurt most entrepreneurs?
If you focus on just getting rich, you're going to miss out on the beauties of life. Because getting, you know, how many people are really happy because they're wealthy? As you know, the people that win the lottery, most of those guys aren't happy. And so just because you have a lot of money.
I'd like to give it a shot, though.
Yeah, give it a shot. We'd all like it until we have it. And, you know, I'm fairly well off. You know, I've made a lot of money on that deal with Microchip. But that's not what's making me happy. What's making me happy is my family, helping in the community, being of service. There's where I get the most joy. I don't get a lot of joy out of spending money. Trust me.
So how do you, then what should you be focusing on besides doing the tough stuff in order to make sure that you get also personally fulfilled as an entrepreneur?
Serving others, you know, becoming part of other people's lives. If you turn out, you know, go with what's called inside out, if you turn from what you want to what other people need, you're going to find joy and happiness in doing that. And that's the focus of Tough Things First, is getting outside yourself, making your employees feel good, happy, wanting to come to work. If they love to come to work, they'll come to work early, they'll stay later, they'll just get involved in the business. So you want to focus on them, and they will focus on you.
And I want to make no bones about it. You know, starting and running a business is hard work. I always laugh at folks where I come into their business and go, you don't understand, my business is particularly hard. And I will go, you don't understand, every business is hard.
That's life. You know, as they say, adversity is like manure. It stinks, but it helps us grow. So, you know, we just, you know, have to get in our head that life is tough. You know, and we have to be able to just get up in the morning and get going, and adversity is always before us, problems and difficulties. That's what helps us grow. We're not going to grow from doing nothing.
Now, since you've sold your company, you're now focusing on something new that you really want to try to find, fund, and mentor the next generation of companies that are going to be around for a while. How are you doing that?
Well, what we're doing, is, of course, is we're putting our name out there. You know, I'm more willing and able to help people now that I don't have to be at work full time every day. And so I through my social media, my name is out there. I get probably three or four opportunities a week for people that want me to help them. I'm not interested in just giving them money. I'm more interested in helping them. Along with that, if I can invest in their company, if it looks like a good venture, I'll do that to help them. But mainly it's to help them. You know, as they said, you know, don't give somebody a fish, teach them how to fish. So I'm here teaching people how to fish.
So for the hundreds of thousands of small business owners that are listening, what kinds of people, what should they contact you? What kinds of people are you willing to help?
I want people who are willing to do the tough things first. I know it sounds like I'm...
So buy a copy of the book first, then call me.
There you go. That's you took the words right out of my mouth, Barry. Yes, read the book. If you feel like you're one of those guys that can do the tough things first, I'll talk to you.
So because you always say that this is, you're not really running a venture capital firm, that it's really, you think the venture capital is really the antithesis of entrepreneurialism and success. Why is that?
Because, you know, when you're a venture capital focused company, you're only focused on the return. And I'm not. I'm focused on them becoming a successful individual. You know, successful people make better business leaders. And so I'm focused on helping them become a more successful person, a better father, a better mother, husband, wife, citizen, you know, parent. That's what I'm focused on, helping them become a better person.
What do you say to people that become, they see other people become incredibly financially successful and doesn't seem like they put a lot of hard work into it? What do you say to those folks?
Well, if you're not willing to, you know, can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. In other words, if you don't want to put the time and effort into it, you shouldn't try. I mean, if all you're focused on is what's in it for me, if you're focused on me, you're not going to be successful. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to those people who want to help other people.
And the last question I got to ask you is, how did you stay as the longest serving CEO of a publicly traded company in Silicon Valley? That seems to be an unbelievable achievement.
Because I love my company. I love my people. I love getting involved in the industry. Semiconductor industry is one of the best industries in the world. If it weren't for semiconductors, we wouldn't have the technologies we do today, you know, like the cell phone or the computer or any of that would not be available to us, the connected home, internet. None of that would be possible without the semiconductors. So I just love semiconductors. I love that technology. I've been in it since I graduated, and I just love to be involved. So it was difficult for me to back off. I mean, I'm 78 years old, and it was difficult for me to walk away, even at my age.
I mean, it's incredible because, you know, we take semiconductors today for granted, but we have to understand that years and years ago, this was just a pipe dream, and people were using tubes and things like that to run electronic stuff. Why'd you ever believe it could work? What made you have the audacity to believe that it could work, semiconductors?
Well, again, you have to understand the concept of what semiconductors are. And so it's making things smaller, Moore's Law. You know, you try to get more in a smaller space. And effectively, you know, the vacuum tube was a good thing. I had my first radio with a little vacuum tube radio. But, you know, if we look at trying to innovate and create, semiconductors became a natural evolution of that because it is creating, making things smaller, cheaper.
Getting smaller. Ray, I got to interrupt you there. Thanks so much for being on the show. The title of the book is called Tough Things First. You can get it at toughthingsfirst.com. Ray, thanks so much. Congratulations on your success.
Thank you for offering me to be on your program, Barry.
Coming up, how do you trade your miserable 9-to-5 job to create a passionate company of your dreams? This is AM 560. The Answer will be right back.
University of Portland has launched a Speak Up webpage that encourages students to report incidents of discomfort to its public safety department.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
You don't even have to experience it. If you observe someone else experiencing an interaction of intolerance, then you go ahead and call the university's public safety department.
I just died a little inside.
Get your kids out of these overpriced totalitarian re-education centers.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts.
Thank you to Louisiana, and thank you to Kentucky.
Donald Trump celebrating in Florida after his two wins yesterday. Democrat Bernie Sanders says that's fine, but
I do not believe that the American people will ever elect a president of the United States who insults Mexicans, who insults Muslims, who insults women, who insults veterans.
Sanders in Detroit ahead of his wins in Kansas and Nebraska. Hillary Clinton picks up Louisiana. Republican Ted Cruz takes Kansas and Maine. Rain's expected to spread from Northern California south today, just what that drought-plagued area needs.
They're going to need probably several systems like this over the course of several months to kind of eliminate that drought.
Meteorologist Rick Otto with the National Weather Service. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways. If you're traveling through the northwest side, Clybourne, Western, and Belmont intersection shut down throughout the rest of the weekend for demolition of the old Riverview overpass, and this affects all directions. So if you have to head in that area, give yourself a little bit of extra time. Also, in the Logan Square neighborhood, the intersection of Kedzie, Logan, and Milwaukee, dealing with a pretty serious crash. Best off to avoid the area if you can. All the expressways are nice and light this early morning hour. The support is sponsored by FEMA and the Ad Council. When danger is imminent, will you be ready? Now, many mobile devices can bring you critical information from local sources you trust. With a unique sound and vibration, wireless emergency alerts keep you in the know wherever you are. Learn more at ready.gov/alerts. Clearing with breezy conditions and a high in the mid-50s right now at O'Hare, 35, 36 Midway. Next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
More leads. That's what every small business wants, right? If you want to eliminate the guesswork with a truly effective lead generation tool, it's time to try out PureChat. PureChat's simple live chat software is the easiest way for small businesses to answer customer questions and capture leads from their desktop or mobile device. Sign up free at PureChat.com and start generating more leads. PureChat.com, the truly effective lead generation tool.
Costa Rica is an Eden of limitless possibilities. With lush emerald rainforests, volcanoes, winding rivers, and untouched beaches along the sweeping mountain countryside. Book during the Apple Vacation Spring Super Sale and take advantage of the biggest savings of the season. 7 nights at the adults-only Occidental Grand Papagayo start from only $13.99. Or make it a full week at Riu Palace, Costa Rica, starting from just $14.49. Both trips include round-trip non-stop air, resort transfers, all meals, drinks, and taxes. Essential Costa Rica. Call Travelone at 312-334-7876 to book your trip today. That's Travelone, 312-334-7876, or visit Travelone.com. Prices per person based on double occupancy for select departures starting May 6th, including charter air on Extra Airways from O'Hare, and taxes and fees including September 11 security fee. See applevacations.com for baggage charges. Prices subject to availability and change. Restrictions apply. PC 15094.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, the American dream is still to run your own small business, but how do you turn a 9-to-5 job into a life passion? My next guest says he's found the secret. Parvis Firozgar started a mortgage company and employed over 500 loan officers. He wrote a business plan for startups that helped them raise millions of dollars in capital. Parvis was a radio talk show host and a longtime instructor for Income Builders International, now called CEO Space, an entrepreneurial forum with internationally recognized instructors such as Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Bob Proctor, T. Harv Eker, John Gray, and Lisa Nichols. Parvis, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Now, since I butchered your last name, you got to give it to us the way it's supposed to be sound.
It's Parvis Firozgar.
Perfect. You know, you say it really well. Almost sounds like poetry. So how does someone go from that 9-to-5 job where they're not really happy to say, you know, I really want to pursue my life's passion, but I just can't make that transition. There's too much risk. It's going to cost me too much.
Well, the answer is actually in the question. It's the word passion. When you follow your passion, everything changes. Let me give you a couple examples here. If you do what you love, then you have the motivation to get up in the morning. You have the energy. In fact, if you do what you love, it's really not work. You want to do it. But more importantly, when you do something you're passionate about, you have the ability to learn everything you need to learn very, very quickly. Have you ever tried to read something you're just not interested in?
It's tough to do.
Sink in. You read it over and over and over again and still not sinking in. But if you read something you are interested in, oh, my God, you can't get enough of the information.
Right, but Parvis, sometimes this is really easy in theory. You know that old saying that says, you know, do what you love and the money will follow? Well, yeah. I've tried that, and it always doesn't happen. So practically, how does this work? Because, you know, people have a good job, they got a family. Many people just can't lift up and say, all right, now I'm going to start a business and earn nothing.
Well, there's more to it than just following your passion. That is just a primary ingredient. The lessons you need to know, this is what I write about in my books. These are lessons that really apply to any business, regardless of what you may get into. They are universal and transferable lessons. The actual technical skill of whatever you're going to do is only 10% of the equation. But it's the business skills, the entrepreneurial skills, that are 90% of the equation. And this is a very long discussion to go through all those. But number one on the list is do something you're interested in. I would also recommend being a student of personal growth material, because that gives you a lot of important information too. And you need to do the things that successful people do, such as goal setting, using to-do lists, those kind of things. These are all described in my books. And there is a lot to it. But here's the thing. Anybody who has the desire can become successful by becoming an entrepreneur, can even become wealthy by doing the same thing. And virtually any business that you can think of can be turned into an economic powerhouse if you know what you're doing ahead of time.
So, Parvis, how do I actually make the transition? Do I just get up one day and quit my job?
No, not at all. Not at all. Contrary to popular belief, entrepreneurs are not these all-or-nothing risk takers. When I started my first business, I was only 21 or 22 years old. I had a 9-to-5 job so I could make a living. And then my first business was a delivery service, which I operated from 6 p.m. to midnight every single evening for an entire year without missing a single evening. Now, it was my first business. It didn't make a lot of money, but boy, did it teach me a lot, especially about discipline. So, no, you don't just quit your job and go all or nothing. Most entrepreneurs take calculated risks, and they always have a backup plan, mostly a financial backup plan, in case things do not work out. However, if you learn the right lessons ahead of time, your certainty for making it work out is almost absolute. It is a learned skill. Success is a skill that you learn, and you can create success by design predictably if you learn the right lessons.
So last thing I wanted to ask you, Parvis, was you have something in the book called 2020 foresight. Now, of course, we're all familiar, if we're interested in sports, is 2020 hindsight. But what the heck is 2020 foresight?
Actually, my book is called 2020 hindsight, not foresight.
Ah.
I do mention in the book that my 2020 hindsight can be your 2020 foresight. So the book is about lessons that I've learned as an entrepreneur. These come from trial and error, mistakes and failures, observations, mentors. These are real street smart lessons. These are not theory. This is not what you learn in business school. This is what happens in the real world. And with those lessons, you can create an almost impenetrable defense against failure.
Parvis, we got to leave it right there. Thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Coming up next, I'm going to show you how to get unstuck. This is AM 560, The Answer. Be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways as you are heading out and about. Still have a very serious crash with injuries in the Logan Square neighborhood at Kedzie and Logan Boulevard and Milwaukee Avenue. Also on the city's northwest side, the old Riverview overpass still shuts down the intersection of Western Belmont and Clybourne in all directions until later on this week. If you're traveling on the Edens, no delays there. However, the Kennedy outbound left lane's closed Belmont to pass Addison with road work, and there's no express lane access until 8 a.m. 20 apiece to and from O'Hare, 10 back and forth from Montrose. Eisenhower and the Stevenson moving well. Same with the Dan Ryan, Chicago Skyway, Bishop Ford, 57 Lakeshore Drive in the L2 O'Hare Expressway. Tollways are nice and light. Same with 80 through the southern suburbs and everything in and out of northwest Indiana. Clearing skies with breezy conditions at a high in the mid-50s. O'Hare is at 35, 36 at Midway. Your next update is in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42.
I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and Software Solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back. Tracy Carlson's author of a great book called What Great Brands Know, Unleash Your Right Brain Genius to Stand Out and Make Customers Care. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
Actually, welcome back to the show. So talk to us about brands. A lot of small business owners says, you know, I really don't need a brand because it's just me or I have a small business. I don't think it could be farther from the truth.
You're absolutely right, Barry. Branding is so important, especially, I would say, for the small business person, because you don't have money to waste. And one of the topics that I'm fascinated with and that I spoke about at Sage Summit today is archetypes. These are deep stories that can help brands really stand out and make customers care.
So do I have to attach my brand to an archetype for it really to resonate with consumers?
No, you don't have to. And I would say that there are lots of categories that don't have any archetypes, aren't using them. But when you do use one effectively, it can be a transformational kind of thing for your brand.
So give us an example, Tracy.
Okay, here's an example using Southwest Airlines, which fully embraces the jester archetype, which is all about having fun, enjoying the moment, and bringing levity to an overly serious world.
Right, they were the first ones that really had fun doing the announcements at the beginning when you got on the airplane.
Yes, and there are all kinds of YouTube videos about funny in-flight announcements, but what's interesting is it's more than just about the in-flight experience. I was discussing how in 1992, legendary CEO Herb Kelleher was involved in a potential trademark dispute, which he resolved not through expensive litigation, but through an arm wrestling match.
Right, remember.
Malice in Dallas. And promotional events for this was a charity match, included films that showed him training for the bouts by chain smoking and weightlifting giant bottles of Wild Turkey whiskey.
Right, right, exactly. So, and that probably really got a lot farther in reinforcing his brand than if he would have went to court.
Absolutely.
So give us some other examples of archetypes and brands we might be familiar with.
Okay. Well, one interesting archetype is the innocent, which is about childlike simplicity and goodness. And Coca-Cola, Disney, and the VW Beetle are all really good examples of the innocent. One of the least well-known archetypes is the magician, which is all about creating transformative experiences and making dreams come true. And magician brands include MasterCard, Cirque du Soleil, and Google. But in between, there are all kinds of others, like The Explorer, which is about discovering the world, discovering yourself through adventure, and experiencing new things. And you can have a wide range of brands, from Starbucks to Trader Joe's to Jeep, and of course, outdoor brands like REI and North Face.
So is an archetype the same thing as a stereotype?
Absolutely not. There's a huge difference. Stereotypes are simplistic and rigid, and they are one-dimensional. They don't age well or travel well, like the dumb dad or the gorgeous airhead or the overbearing mother-in-law. They're really one-note ideas, and they're often offensive. By contrast, archetypes are very flexible. You can have the outlaw archetype in an ancient story like Robin Hood, or in a futuristic story like Mad Max, or a contemporary one like the Harley Davidson brand.
So they have goodness and badness and everything in between included in that single archetype.
Yes, there's always a story associated with the archetype, and the story is what sort of motivates the journey. The hero's journey.
So does the brand actually embrace these archetypes? You say in the notes here that Microsoft is the ruler kind of archetype. If you went to their brand agency, would they say we're embracing the ruler archetype?
No, they probably wouldn't. A lot of this is unconscious. For example, when Apple started out, it was the rebel. And that they did that fairly...
Right, the 1984 video, of course, right?
Yes,
with the,
yes.
The rebel against Microsoft, men's tradition.
Actually, back then it was against
IBM. You're right. My mistake. IBM, exactly. You're 100% right.
But a lot of the rebel was probably unconscious. If you think about their logo, it's an apple with a bite out of it. You know, they've said that they use the bite to show scale, so you know it's an apple, not a cherry, but it's hard to believe that somebody as creative as Steve Jobs wouldn't be thinking at some level about that original act of defiance.
Right. Right, absolutely. So what other things should small business owners know when they're thinking about creating their brand? Because I believe you got to do it consciously.
I think one of the things that they should do is think about what storylines they themselves might be living. Because archetypes aren't just out there in the world, they're also in us. And in America in particular, the combination of warrior, which is about being the best through skill and mastery, and the ruler, which is about control, tend to dominate U.S. business culture. And this leads to people preferring narratives of status and winning. But that... may limit your ability to see other ideas that are more playful and empathic that could be very effective with your target audience.
So real quickly, with the 15 seconds we have left, what do great brands know that small businesses don't know?
I think great brands know that you need to integrate creative, human, right brain thinking with business analytics.
Tracy, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry. It was a real pleasure.
Well, coming up next, we're going to show you how to get your small business unstuck. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. 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 Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Christmas and the new year are over. It's time to think a little about yourself. Maybe treat yourself to a MyPillow. I'm Joe Walsh, and I have slept better for years with MyPillow. If you've procrastinated, don't put it off. MyPillow is a premium pillow with 4 different loft levels that's customized to your individual preference. And for my listeners who use the promo code Joe, you'll get 2 MyPillows for the price of 1. It's MyPillow's best offer. It's so important. Get a great night's sleep. MyPillow helps with snoring, headaches, neck pain, insomnia, and allergies. Plus, it's washable, keeps its shape, and gives you support where you need it most. That's why it's the official pillow of the National Sleep Foundation. For this 2 for the price of 1 offer, visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-489-0201 and use that promo code Joe. Do it now, 1-800-489-0201 or online at MyPillow.com. Promo code Joe, 1-800-489-0201.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, we all know that small businesses come and go. And in this fast-paced economy, what do you got to do to get your sustainable edge? Scott Ford is the founder and CEO of Cornerstone Wealth Management Group, is ranked in the top 1% of all LPL registered financial advisors. He was recognized as one of the 20 rising stars of wealth management by Private Asset Management magazine. He's got a new book out. It's called The Sustainable Edge. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate it.
So we're all looking for that sustainable edge to keep us on top. What is it?
Yeah, the sustainable edge really is about how balance leads to growth and growth leads to balance. And most entrepreneurs, including me, at least I didn't recognize it until I've lived it. And really the premise is, as business owners and entrepreneurs, focusing in on your passions and spending time away from your business actually can lead to growth in your business, and that growth in your business can actually lead to more balance in your life. And that's it, hence the name, The Sustainable Edge.
So how do you practice that? Because a lot of people struggle with this whole idea of the business-life balance.
Yeah, it's really it is difficult, and certainly I spent time in my life not being balanced. And one of the things I got clear on years ago is what I valued most, and I think that's the starting point. So for me, six pillars: spiritual, family, health, career, philanthropy, and finances. But though I was clear on that, I wasn't balanced in living them, because at the end of the day, you can get clear on your values, but what your priorities really are or what your calendar has in it. And when I'd look at my calendar, it was all work. Since then, we've developed what we call the IQ Grower Implementation Quotient, which is in the book. You can actually get it off our website for free. And it's been very, very instrumental and helpful in me actually living those values on a daily basis instead of just knowing them.
So what practical steps, Scott, can we take on a daily basis to really shift it towards having more balance in our lives?
Yep. So I give you one. Biggest takeaway would be download the IQ Grower from thesustainableedge.com, free PDF download. In there, I have a way for you to figure out what you value most. You start with that on quarterly, set goals for them lifetime, and then here's the takeaway. At the end of each day, before you leave the office, you need to list the vital one biggest thing to accomplish the next day.
Absolutely.
And then the six most important goals for the following day. That's where we come up with the 15 minutes, literally 3 minutes a day, 5 days a week. If you're working 5 days a week, there's your 15 minutes. If you just simply list six most important things to accomplish the following day, you do it before you leave the office, letting your subconscious time to think about it and work on it in order of priority. Doesn't have to be six, but maximum six. That would be the biggest takeaway that would give your listeners the biggest impact.
And that's some great advice. Where can people get in touch with you and download this from your website?
So thesustainableedge.com has all of my contact information. So Twitter is at @Cornerstone_WMG. LinkedIn is Scott D. Ford. Best place would be thesustainableedge.com. Could order the book from there, as well as other free downloads, blogs, etc.
Scott, thanks so much for being again on the show.
Thanks, Barry.
I want to thank all of you for joining us on this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Staples and Nextiva, and of course to our fantastic staff, our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year in your business, give me a call on my private line. I'm going to give it to you right now, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money you deserve? You got to remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. This is really the week that can really make the difference. So take the advice of Scott, where he says you got to make sure what you're passionate about. The night before, focus on the one thing that's really going to make a difference in your business next day, and do that one first. Remember, have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
The only significant